Our Bible passage for today is a fairly long passage, and before we actually begin it, by all means, you can start to find it in your few Bibles if you like. It's page 1063. Before we actually read, I've got a couple of suggestions that you might like to think about as we're reading it. And we'll bring these up on the screen if we may. The principal question is this: what part of this reading stirs you towards faith? It is what many people find a very moving story. As I was saying with the younger people, that it's a story where Jesus is very much involved. He's had a meal with Mary and Martha. So they're among his group of friends. And they have a brother, Jesus, who is also a friend to Jesus. And this whole story is about an encounter principally with these three people. So as you read this along with me, what stirs your faith? Firstly, is it Jesus' discussion with the disciples? The first part of it, you'll hear Jesus talking to the disciples. Secondly, is it Martha's profession of faith? When she professes faith in Jesus and gives him that title of Son of Man. Thirdly, could it be Jesus' claim to be resurrection and life? Thinking about this story and what it does and says to you in your faith. Is it about the fourth point, about Lazarus being raised? Or could it be something else that you pick up in the story? So let's begin looking at the story. The Gospel of John, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary, and it is her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." I'll just pause there for a moment. The town of Bethany is not far from Jerusalem. It becomes a key town in the last week of Jesus' life. Perhaps another reason that this story impacts your faith is the fact that you realize just how important friendship is to Jesus, because in the last week of his life, each night he goes back to Bethany to be with his friends. The confrontations that he faces through the day in Jerusalem, he goes back to Bethany. But we also have that very intimate little story there, don't we, that the connection, that it was Mary was the one who had anointed Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. In Jewish custom, you don't get much more intimate than that. But let's read on. When Jesus heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death, it is for God's glory, that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus looked to Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 days more. Then he said to the disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus said, answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. "So then," he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." And so there's the encounter with the disciples. What do you pick out of that that would be of a guidance or assistance to your faith story and your journey of faith? Well, once again, we pick up the relationship that Jesus has with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. However, there is that puzzle, isn't there, that even though Jesus loves them very much, he stays where he is for 2 days. He doesn't immediately pack up and race to Bethany to be with them. And when the disciples misunderstand what Jesus is talking about, he tells them plainly. He tells them very plainly that Lazarus is dead. Now, how could Jesus have known that? That's not what he was told. But Jesus has this ability and this insight into the situation and this knowledge. What many Christians of today would say, he has received a word of knowledge that he knows what the situation is, and so he conveys that to the disciples. So Jesus' knowledge, the way that Jesus treats the disciples. Have you been in a similar circumstance yourself where you don't quite understand, but then reality comes to you, a word of knowledge, an insight is brought into your mind, and you understand almost as though Jesus was standing there to tell you? Have you had such an experience? I hope you have. Because that's, in actual fact, the circumstance that the disciples were in. Let's read on. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask for. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Pause again. Martha has implicit trust in Jesus. Remember the earlier story of Mary and Martha and how distraction, busyness of life had resulted? Martha realized the importance of Jesus and the value of trusting and having faith in him. Is that your story? Is that where you identify more readily in this particular longer passage? Do you trust Jesus just as Martha has expressed her trust, that she knows that he will rise, that we will rise on the last day? Do you know that? Do you trust that? Is that part of your story? But then what does Jesus say? And this is the next question about how this story impacts upon your faith. At verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Those words, I am the resurrection and the life, are quoted at virtually every funeral service of a Christian because they are so key to a Christian's faith. That Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And those who believe in him, yet though they die, will live. There's that contradiction, isn't there? There is the physical death, but there is the spiritual life. And that's why attending a Christian's funeral can be one of the most joyous places to be. It's a contradiction, isn't it? We attend a Christian's funeral and then we are sad because we will not see them anymore. And in many ways we are mourning lost opportunities and missed futures. But we should be joyful. We should praise the Lord because it's through our faith that we live, and we live in God's presence. Eternal life. So how does that impact upon your story of faith? Let's read on a little more, shall we? And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforted her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw the weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? And he went to the bedside of the very sick person. And he would have prayed for a loved one. Have you ever been in that circumstance where you hope, beyond all hope, that this person will be returned to fullness of health and fullness of life? Have you ever been there and called out to the Lord in my ministry? It happens many, many times. Where in coming alongside a person and coming into a family's presence at the bedside of a loved one, you are just so much reminded of God's presence being there. I can tell you of some beautiful experiences. One in particular that stands out for me right now is gathering with a family around a gentleman's bedside, where the man had been in a coma prior to his death. For 4 days, this man had been there in the bed and had been non-communicative. The family had asked me to go to pray, and I had joined them in prayer, and I said, now we have this nice little prayer that we say at the end of a lot of our services. It's called the Grace. We know the Grace, don't we? We know the Grace, we can use it at the end of our service. And I said to this family, when we say this, quite often we stand in a circle and we join hands. Now, I was at the head of the bed on one side, and this gentleman's wife was at the head on the other side. And there were 14 members of the family, and we all joined hands around his bed. And totally, at God moment, his hands came from under the sheet, and he stretched out his hands at the side. I took his hand on one side, his wife took his hand on the other, and we completed the circle. And as we said, well, I said the words of the grace. As I said to the young men, there was little flinch. In his hands, back under the shore. And his family were, what has just occurred? A truly God moment. The man must die. But at his funeral service, that moment, taken hold of everyone. God knows what it is like in your life. Let's continue on here for a moment. Let's go to verse 38. Jesus once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take the stone away, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and look in. Is that where your faith story is linked? With the fact that Jesus was able to proclaim and draw from eternity. That we have proof positive of the power of Jesus in that story. Well, let's move to the next slide, because I'd like to make this a little personal for a moment. When we're in those circumstances, how do we act? Do we say, why is this happening to us? Why to them? Why did that incredible climatic condition arise in Queensland this week? Why did it happen? And you know, when we ask the why question, we are being typically human, are we not? Because we like to find answers to questions. We don't always find those answers when we ask the why question. Why did my loved one get so ill? Our family, I tell you, right the way through Australia and internationally, our family, right at this time, our own personal family, is praying for my brother-in-law, who had a massive stroke the day after he had successful open heart surgery. And we are all asking, why did this happen to him? Why, Lord, did you let it happen? And we can't find the answer. But when we change the question around of how, Lord, are you working in this situation, we can see a whole lot of answers. We can see that he's in rehab. We can see that he's moving. We can see that he is starting to talk. We can see that all of these changes are happening because we can see how God is working in this. So do we call out? If only, like in the story, if only Jesus had been there, he would not have died. Such was their faith that Jesus could have healed him right there and then. But he'd been dead for 4 days. Under Jewish custom, that was it. There was no coming back after 4 days, because the body would have degraded to the point where nothing could be saved, nothing could be done. That was it. But Jesus raises him. Jesus works in the situation. So instead of the how question, instead of the why question, we see the how being lived out. How did Jesus work in this? And then there is that final question that's on that. How can we bear this? Well, we can bear it through our faith. We can bear the loss of loved ones through our faith, because our faith is big picture stuff, isn't it? And a lot of the time we're in little picture stuff. We lose sight of the big picture. We lose sight of the glory of God. And we lose sight of how God is working in these situations. So, I've got one of my favourite sayings is, you can't share what you haven't got. So we can't share our faith if we haven't got faith ourselves. So how do we make sure that we have sufficient faith? How do we make sure that we are in tune with God? Well, the first, one of the things we do is we come to worship. Another thing is we read our Bibles. Another thing is we pray. We talk to God. We share fellowship with other Christians. All of these ways are ways in which we build our own faith up. And when we read stories like this that have got faith in so many different angles and so many different circumstances, in so many different people, then that builds us up. So how can we bear those situations? We can bear them because our faith tells us that God is bigger than them all. That God is greater. Like the God that we sang about at the start of our service. So, how do we speak in such a time, how do we speak the hope of the resurrection to another and to our community? Another quick personal story. In my first parish placement at the Service Paradise. That's where I met Don. Don was that shared that prayer with us at the start of the service, was, as I said, one of my training directors. One morning I was in Australia Fair and I was looking for a new pair of shoes. I did, as most do, I went to Spendless Shoes. And I was just looking through the rack and this lady came up to me and she said, "Are you a religious?" You said she took. She noticed the fact that I had some little collar crosses on. And I said, "Yes, I'm a minister in the Anglican Church." And she said, "Would you pray for me?" And I said, "What would you like me to pray for?" And she said, "Well, this morning in England, I just got a phone call. My sister died. And I can't go back for the funeral. And I don't know how to pray." And I said, "Well, what's your sister's name?" And she said, "Irene." Isn't it incredible? 25 years later, I remember Irene. I forgot the lady's name. And we stood there in the middle of Spangler's Shoes and we prayed for Irene and for the family. And we asked for peace to come upon this lady in that loss circumstance. So the point is, when someone asks you to pray, do it. And if at all possible, do it straight away. So how do we respond to the community? We live our faith. We show our faith. We show that. Now that doesn't mean that we Bible bash people. Because times such as funerals and times of great loss are not the time to come in and hit hard. That's the time to do the sneaking right beside the person. The arm round. The quiet chat. This is what my faith means to me. Own your faith, then you can share your faith. So that's how we can bring the good news. How did Jesus do it? He went. He was there. He visited. He spent time with the family. What did it mean for him? Well, as I said before, Bethany became a very special place for him. Because in that night, every night of the last week of Jesus' earthly life, he didn't stay among the chaos. He went back to Bethany to recharge his batteries. So there's another question for you. Where is your Bethany? Where is the place that you can find in your life to reach out to others? Where can you find that support? Lots of things to think about.